Today, I'm taking advantage of living in London. I'm on the water, on the side of historic Thames, a great tidal river, which without London would not exist. I'm here with a woman who's very much tied to the water and the sea. She excavates the sea to secure the future of Britain. She's the CEO of MAST, the Maritime Archaeology Sea Trust, and her name is Jessica Berry. And, by the way, we are in a pub in Hammersmith where the song Rule Britannia was written in 1740 by a certain Mr. Thompson, and that will come into light later in the interview. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello.
So we're in Hammersmith on the Thames. If you dive down here, because I know you're a diver, could one find anything?
Well, it's a very good question. I would have thought that right here it would be really nasty, sticky, deep mud. But experience shows that archaeologists have been digging up Roman remains for several years now, all the way up to Thames Estuary in the intertidal zone. So my guess is really as good as yours up here.
But it is exciting that we don't know what's under the water. Didn't you study this at university then?
Well, my first degree was Russian and French, which really didn't prepare me at all for this. But I then was with my Sunday Times hat on in Florida, diving on a rather lovely wreck. I was told that I couldn't dive on it unless I dived on it, and I said, can a duck swim? And I dived on this site for 3 weeks, and I thought, well, there must be more to this. Perhaps I could make a living doing this kind of thing. I came back, had another thing.
Right, did you love it? I mean, were you excited? What changed that moment, the 3 weeks you were there for?
Well, I just thought if you could live your life underwater, looking at shipwrecks and investigating where they came from, how they sank, who lived on it and what they were like and where they were going. I mean, that was the same to me as investigative journalism above water, but the medium had changed. And I thought, well, maybe if I did a master's in this, I could make a career of it. And a couple of years later, I'd done a master's in Australia.
So are Australians better at this than us? Are they more on the ball?
Not at all. There were a number of courses I looked at, but I'd never been to Australia, and and it was far enough away that I couldn't have the excuse of continuing on with my journalism, but to focus 100% on the master's.
Also, warm water's quite attractive, isn't
well,
it?
You think that, but actually the Southern Ocean is not only freezing cold, but full of great whites.
Oh, really? So actually quite terrifying.
Yes.
So you set up MAST. What does it do?
Well, we conduct maritime archaeology in all its guises, from conservation to recording and survey to excavation to publication of the work. And currently, we may end up talking about this a little bit later, but currently we are about to begin the biggest single maritime underwater excavation since the Mary Rose, in the form of HMS Invincible, which is a ship that the British captured from the French in 1747, one of the greatest feats of industrial espionage of the 18th century. The French at that time were being particularly innovative in complete contrast to the Britons, to the Royal Navy's intransigence at that time in experimentation. And so their 74-gun ship, the Invincible, which we captured, had innovative designs. It was lighter, faster, but could fire its weaponry further. And in testament to that build, by 1805, in the Battle of Trafalgar, the majority of the 74-gun ships, regardless whether they were French or British, were built along Invincible lines, so it had quite an incredible legacy.
So where are you excavating it?
It's in the Solent, about halfway between Portsmouth and the Isle of Wight.
So why did it sink? Is it us that sank it then?
No, it sank, like the majority of our shipwrecks, it sank in a storm, unable to get off a sandbank.
Wow, so actually something quite simple you actually can wreck then.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the vast majority of historic wrecks are actually wrecked in shallow waters and are the result of storms rather than battles.
Wow, so that's really interesting. So that's why people, you know, if you watch Pole Dart, which I have done, people could get down quite easily to get to kind of get the booty or whatever the word is.
Correct, or even just to do contemporary salvage to save what they could, such as cannon and masts, things that were valuable and they could reuse.
So fascinating. So has our maritime history been neglected and why has it been neglected?
Well, I like to say, I don't like to say it, but very sadly, maritime heritage is rather the Cinderella of our nation's heritage. Because it can't be seen, we tend to forget it. And there is a lot of neglected, very, very important historic ships going back to the early 17th century off the coast of the UK that... for one reason or another, generally to do with the weather and storms are being slowly eroded and destroyed. And Mars mission is to attempt to record what we can of what is left. And we are incredibly honoured to have received the £2 million LIBOR grant in order to conduct this emergency rescue excavation of Invincible, which every year is being slowly destroyed by the storms. Given that it's so shallow, it makes it very susceptible to the elements.
I'm intrigued to know how many miles down it is then.
It's only... miles
or fathoms or whatever
it's only about 8 meters. It's shallow.
Wow.
3 miles offshore.
Then you've also been working on a boat that was in Dorset, near Poole.
That's correct. That was where I cut my teeth in maritime archaeology. I was lucky enough at the time to become one of the diving maritime archaeological team to rescue excavate the Swash Channel wreck, which we've now been able to reveal was called the Fame, which is a Dutch East Indiaman, which sank in 1631 in the approaches to Poole.
Yeah, whereabouts, actually? Because I know that area very well.
Well, in the approaches to Poole, on the third buoy out as you're coming into Poole Harbour.
I'm going to go and have a look.
Well, you might not see very much. The visibility is like pea soup.
So have these wrecks been kind of, you know, have... people in the past gone down to them and looked at them and taken stuff? Have they been raided?
We know that the pool, the Fame, was excavated contemporaneously, and we believe that they probably raised a few cannon and possibly some mast stuff that we didn't see. And then later on, about 20 years ago, it was found by dredger activity that accidentally knocked off some of the ship's timber, which is how we learnt that the ship was there in the first place.
Wow, so literally only discovered again 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Does sand protect things, you know?
It will if it's deeply buried, yes.
So it's actually quite good that underwater's not a bad thing then, in a way.
Correct. If it can stay fairly anaerobic, it won't be affected. But the problem is that as storms come and go, this can cause erosion and wipe the sand away, and then the timbers and other artefacts can get washed away or just destroyed.
So you provide education and training. Can you tell us about that?
Well, we also run a diving course, a PADI course called... Basic Archaeological Diver encourages as many people to become bad divers. Anybody can do it. You don't have to be PADI, you can be a BSAC or SSI, and you get a qualification that comes after 2 days of diving and some classroom work, giving you the basics in maritime archaeology. And
do you go near a wreck?
We have some wrecks that we have set up ourselves, which are pre-recorded so that we know the answers to the questions we're asking you.
Fascinating. So what age do you have to be and where do you go and how do you sign up for this?
Oh, well, you just need to have the open water qualification or the equivalent in other licensing bodies. And if you're under 16, you will have a guardian with you and you just have to give us a call at MAST.
It's brilliant, brilliant. So are the plans, you tell us about maritime museums in Britain and are there any plans to improve them?
Unfortunately, that's not really my department. The great sadness is that Greenwich Maritime Museum really is only a maritime museum in name. All the artefacts that they used to display have been deaccessioned or sold off.
What were the bits of boats and things?
From shipwrecks. Mm. The only real museum in this country that has that could really call itself a maritime museum is the Portsmouth Historic Dockyard and National Museum, the Royal Navy. Obviously, that's not complete and it's focused on the Royal Navy. But unlike other countries in Europe that really celebrate their nautical past, Britain really is shameful, or should be ashamed.
I mean, everything about Britain is to do with being a seafaring nation. I mean, our whole history is linked up to it.
Going back to the Bronze Age, absolutely. We have evidence of Bronze Age activity and trade all the way from the Bronze Age to the 21st century. We've been an island since then, and we have that record. And it's a great shame that we can't celebrate this more.
What do other countries do that are better than us? Can you give an example?
Well, the Netherlands, for example, has got one of the very best maritime museums. Sweden has several maritime museums in its capital in Stockholm, from the Vasa shipwreck to a separate maritime museum, which helps you to understand ship construction and what bits of ship look like, but they're not all attached to each other. We have nothing like that here.
Now, I must go on to the fact, because we are Radio Gorgeous and it's a women's radio station, Jessica. Yeah. I did look at your website. Every person in the photographs is a man.
I'm glad you noticed that. And I do bring this up quite often, because we have just assembled a dive team for Invincible. And I did mention to my colleagues when we were talking about who we would be able to employ that we were rather deficient, not only in women, but also in other...
diversity.
In diversity, yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. And it is a very, at the moment, really a very white, male, middle-class sport for the divers and profession for the archaeologists.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I really don't know, other than maybe women are less attracted to the idea of the fact that it's a lot of men and it's the activity, the physical work can be seen, could be construed to be a little bit hard or grueling, but I've not found that particularly. I mean, as long as you're fit and capable of lifting things, then it should really be open to anyone.
Can you see in the water down there? Because I mean, obviously, when you're in places like the Indian Ocean, it's quite clear. What about kind of Poole Harbour?
Well, it has its moments. This time of the year is really pretty nasty because we're coming. Well, I'd like to say we're coming to the end of the winter storms, but that churns everything up. And then we get something which is equally nasty that comes quite soon, which is caused by the agricultural runoff from the fields along mainly the south coast, which makes it pea green. And last year you could see from satellite images a green necklace all the way around the south coast of the country, which comes from the photosynthesis, I believe, of all the microbes in the water.
So is that's a negative thing then, is it? Is it negative for the sea life?
I don't know about how it affects the sea life, but it certainly affects the divers because you can't actually see anything at all. And last year, when we were trying to do some work off Plymouth, which involved 3D photogrammetry, and we couldn't get in until July.
God, I can't believe that. Yeah. Wow. So Invincible, how many will be on the team?
We'll be a team of 9 people. With a couple of people coming in and out.
And do you stay in a B&B or something? Are you on land?
Well,
you
know? One of my jobs, which I haven't done yet, is to find us an apartment or two or a house that we can all live in while we're working there, because we'll be working very, very long hours and nobody will be able to drive home for a couple of hours to sleep and eat and come back. So I'm in charge of doing that and finding us a cook.
Wow, it just sounds so exciting. I mean, do you see yourself as an explorer?
No, but I think I've been lucky enough in my life so far to have always done what I wanted to do. I mean, apart from being buried in paperwork increasingly, I adore this job and I adore this life. And it is exciting because you really do not know what is around the corner.
And do you have sailing or sailors in your family? I mean, is it in the blood?
No, it's rather the opposite. They tended to capsize. I've always loved being in or under, but on I can take it or leave it.
Oh, really? So yes. You're interested in underneath?
Yes. Really? Or being in it, at least.
Yeah, swimming.
I think that's the Greek side of me. Yeah. I once had a surf lesson in Australia, and the very beautiful... a Brazilian teacher got so fed up with me after he said, okay, now you're ready to stand up, after we'd done a process of kneeling as the waves came in. And I just couldn't be bothered. It was too hot, too humid, and no. And he said, oh, you English, you're all the same. All you want is a nice sit down and a cup of tea. And he stormed off with his surfboard.
And then you went underwater and you were really happy.
I was, yeah.
So what do you want from the public? What do you want from the listener? What do you want? How can we support MAST?
Well, spread the word of Invincible. Join us when hopefully we have a show going out on BBC South on the 6th of April. And otherwise, watch us, ask us questions, follow us on the website. If you have... if you know anyone who would like to donate anything towards the project, we'd be delighted to receive it. We have a way of doing that on the website, on the Invincible page. So please learn more and spread the word.
So the website is thisismast.org. Thanks, Jessica Berry, the CEO of MAST and the Maritime Archaeological Sea Trust. I hope I said it right.
Thank you, Justine.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
And it was a pleasure. Thank you.